Did you miss Unabated Sports last week? Go back and hear the interviews you missed. Log on to unabatedsports.com. Now, back to Unabated Sports on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio, 1450, The Ticket.
This is Unabated Sports, presented by Crossroads Sports Bar and Grill. And we are back, 8:28 here at 1450. And we are now joined by Channel 5 sports director George Vogel. George, the people who are doing really good are the Bengals fans in this city. 2-0.
Who day?
Everybody just walking around just screaming that. Everywhere you go, it's just a random who day.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it great for the city, the sense of camaraderie?
Yeah, as long as it doesn't turn out like, when was it, 2001?
Or the last two or three times they've been 2-0.
Exactly.
They need to get to 3-0. Last time they were 3-0 was 1990 when they went to the playoffs. So.
Yeah, and this is obviously they're all big games, but this one on the road against a defense like Chicago's. I have faith in that Bengals offense, but I think we'll learn a lot more about it this week.
You went right into the Bears game. What do you think? What's your take on that Bears game? What do you think the weaknesses are and the strengths are and where they match up with the two teams?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Bears are pretty darn tough right up the middle. And if you saw even against Minnesota, and the Bengals usually don't have trouble running up the middle. I don't know what it was against Minnesota. For one reason, they didn't have to. I mean, they just owned that game. But who you got? You got Tommy Harris in there, and you got Urlacher, Brown, the safety back there. I mean, they are strong up the middle. But so this might be a game where maybe you see Chris Perry break loose to the outside a little bit, as opposed to just trying to butt heads in the middle with Rudy. But like I said, we're going to learn about this Bengals offense because that defense in Chicago is for real. And don't fool yourself thinking, okay, they only played the Redskins. That offense stinks. We know that. Even though they do have Clinton Portis, that offense isn't very good. Unless there's 2 minutes left in a game against the Cowboys. But, Detroit, they played well against them. That's a good defense. They played well last year. So we're going to find out, and I think it's going to come out positive for the Bengals if this offense is as explosive against any defense as we think it can be.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious on the turnover battle between the two because the Bengals right now are number one in the NFL in turnovers with 10, but number two on that list is the Bears with 8. So.
Boy. And you know, somewhere along the line, you kind of that'll come back to earth, I think, for the Bengals a little bit. Because I don't put their defense, the Bengals' defense, in the same category as the Bears. Yes, it's better than it's been. I like Brian Robinson playing in there where he is, and I think that has helped them a lot. I think, obviously, Odell Thurman. I mean, my gosh, when the guy doesn't have a brain cramp, he is so good and makes such a difference in the middle of that defense, playing sideline to sideline, and he can hit. He can hit. He is a linebacker that delivers an impact, and I don't think they've had that really since Spikes left, and I think he probably covers a lot more ground than Takeo did. So that turnover battle is going to be key, and I don't see the Bengals getting all the turnovers they've been getting the first couple of weeks for the rest of the season. I think that'll settle down a little bit, but that's where it's incumbent upon that offense to keep putting points on the board.
It was interesting that you brought up Odell Thurman. What's your take right now in terms of stock rising and maybe stock not quite so high between Odell Thurman, who's one of the Bengal leaders at this point, you know, with the interception, up there in tackles, versus Mr. Pollock with only, I believe, 7 tackles, you know, over the first 2 games, and he's been relatively quiet except for a couple of those penalties on Sunday.
Yeah, oh, boy, did that hurt, too. And that's something that, I mean, I don't even know. It happened once, okay, but that's not even a rookie mistake. I mean, that is just a brain cramp that I'm telling you what, those coaches will beat that out of him in a hurry. But he's learning a new position. And while that may sound like an excuse, it is pretty much a new position for this guy. He's had to swallow a lot. I mean, they're just trying to get him in there in the third downs or in the passing situations where he can line up and do what he did at Georgia and he doesn't have to think too much.
But the funny thing is you say it's a new position, but the new position is off the ball. I mean, I know they line him up on the line to bring him up, but it's a linebacker. You'd think he'd be farther back from the ball, maybe a step or two.
Yeah, well,
he's just getting anxious.
Yeah, absolutely he is. And maybe he sees his old teammate from Georgia making all those plays, and he wants to get in there and make a few himself. But I think Pollock's going to be okay. I'm not going to make a final judgment on him yet, you know, whether, you know, bust for real, whatever. I mean, I think he's going to be fine. And the reason I have faith in that is I have a lot of faith in this coaching staff and the way they judge talent. I mean, these guys are, I got to give them credit since they've come in here, their record of judging players, who they keep, who they get rid of, and who turns out to be the better player. And obviously, Odell Thurman is one of those guys they see in the second round. And yeah, there were questions, character questions, whatnot. He'd been in some trouble in the past. But I mean, they got a bargain getting that guy in the second round where they got him. I mean, and they jumped all over him. I think they were shocked he was still there.
Yeah, he's turning out to be a steal right now. He could definitely be headed for an NFL Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, if he keeps doing the things he does. Like you said, just walloping people, forcing fumbles, and he's a playmaker.
He really is. He is an absolute playmaker. He's got the instincts. He's got a nose for the ball. The only complaint you could have at this point is sometimes he might get a little lost in pass coverage, and what rookie linebacker doesn't do that?
Exactly.
Yeah, once he figures that out, geez, he's going to be incredibly scary.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to bring up a Ray Lewis type, but he's got that kind of an impact on a defense, I think. I mean, the guy is just everywhere, and it's unfair to say anyone could be Ray Lewis, but he's the kind of playmaker that they've been looking for. And also, I mean, I got to say, Madiu Williams is the kind of playmaker they've been looking for as well. And as that guy gets more and more comfortable, I mean, if he isn't right there on the ball, he's a step after it, but the guy that makes the catch knows he's there.
And he
wallops him.
And what a learning curve he had last year. At the beginning of the year, we weren't on air at that time, but if anybody knew me, I mocked Madiu Williams really badly at the beginning of the year last year because he was getting smoked. But, geez, he turned around real quick.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of – I mean, when they were putting him at corner some and all that, yeah, I mean, early on, it may have been the first game of the year, actually. He got burned.
Yeah,
if I remember,
Jets,
he may have given up the first touchdown of the season and looked bad doing it. But that is a guy that packs a wallop. He's got, he's a safety, but he's got some corner skills. And when you could move a safety up to play a receiver the way they can do with him without making personnel changes and feel comfortable doing it, that's a huge plus.
And it goes back to what you said about the improvement the Bengals have made in player evaluation.
Yeah,
I mean, because he is a superb athlete.
As much as anything, I think that's what's changed. I mean, I think it's also a system and finding the guys, you know, that have the certain talents that you need to play your system. And I think that was always a problem in the past. I mean, how do you draft Big Daddy – who's obviously a player, a defensive tackle in a 4-3 scheme, and a year later you go to a 3-4. I mean, the way the Bengals operated from the time Sam Weiss left to the time Marvin Lewis walked in the door was just insane. I mean, they would draft players that, yeah, they're darn good college players, and they may be darn good players in another system, but they wouldn't fit what the Bengals were doing. And it's like, I don't understand why you do that, and I think that's another big step they've taken under Marvin Lewis.
Well, is that a result of possibly Mike Brown being hands-off now, or is that just completely irrelevant with anything? Or is Mike Brown being hands-off really the key and letting football people make football player decisions?
I think that's a big part of it, and I don't know who you could get down there inside that organization to agree with that on the record.
Considering half of them are in the Browns family,
yeah, exactly.
I don't think you're going to find any of them.
Might be a little problem, but yeah, when you have your coaching staff who see these players and say, that guy fits what we do, and you've got a guy on the other end of the table saying, well, you know, I think this guy's a better player, and we're going to get, you know, a bigger splash from the initial drafting of this guy, so we're taking him whether he fits your system or not. That's insane, and I honestly think there was some of that going on. I think there were – I know, and I can't remember the exact story, but I know when Bruce Coslett was here, there was a draft day battle over somebody. That battle was won by Mr. Brown, and it turned out to be not a good day for the organization in the long run.
Now, George, we talked about 2-0, Houdet, the city's fired up. But at the same time, there's this underlying skepticism because we've been there before and we've had our hearts broken, or Bengals fans or whatnot, people in the city have had their hearts broken. Is it time to believe, or when will it be time to fully believe and start drinking the Kool-Aid? When can we fully believe and the Bengals.
I think I've been drinking it for a couple of months now, if not about 4 or 5 months, because I said they would start off 4-0. I did not, even though I knew the Bears had a good defense, I figured new coaching staff coming in, there might be a little bit of a curve there, and the Bengals catching them early in the season. I mean, I've been saying they should start 4-0 basically since his schedule came out and the dates came out. I still believe they'll do that. I still believe they'll win at Chicago. And if they start out 4-0, start drinking heavily, because that'll be it.
Yeah,
and I think they can do it.
That Marvin Berry blast will be hitting the shelves very soon.
Yeah.
And Jeff will have the first cup.
You know. I hope it's cheap. I want to be able to afford some of that. It sounds good.
George, let's get a little bit into the show you guys do on Sunday night, Sports Rock.
Yes.
That's tell us about the show, because it's not your typical – this is not your highlights, and we're going to talk about what happened this week or this weekend. This is a little show a little bit different. Give us a little bit about that show.
It's probably a little bit of what you guys do only on television, don't you think?
Yeah, yes, pretty much when I watch it, it's pretty much about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's more opinion-driven, you know, belief-driven. We don't mind someone saying something off the wall. In fact, I'm not going to say we encourage it, but we want people to get on there and say what they believe, what they really believe. And if someone else doesn't like it and wants to come back at them, you know, more power to them. We encourage that. It's like a sports discussion opinion show where it's not bad if it gets a little heated, because that's what we all do. I mean, if we go out and talk about sports, whether, you know, we're at the corner bar or at a game or wherever, you know how people go back and forth about sports. And that's what we want to get on the air on television, because you don't see a lot of that. You'll see some of that on PTI, and it's kind of got that feel to it. Maybe the show Fox does a little bit of that. And we're trying to, like, tie all that together into a half an hour and just let four guys go at it about sports. And sometimes we may all agree on the same thing.
Now,
but we figure by 11:30 on a Sunday night, everybody's seen the highlights probably three times at least. So it's time to, like, get more into why it happened, why it continues to happen, or why it doesn't happen.
George, the reason I bring up Sports Rock is because I want to go back to a Sports Rock episode a couple weeks ago.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I want to go there.
No, you don't.
Because I watched it, and I saw the tape. A little something you did, I'm hoping comes back out at some point, maybe around Halloween. You know what I'm getting at.
Yes, I do.
The Sports Rock Devil.
The Devil. The Devil. I tried to bury the Devil.
Oh, you can never bury the Devil, George.
Back. He'll be. I'm sure he'll be back at some point. I'll tell you, if you told me a year ago I'd do something like that on television, I'd said you're crazy.
For those people who don't know, they did a piece called, what's it called, The Devil's Advocate?
Fill me in.
It was called, The Devil's Advocate?
Yes.
They would say something, and George was over on the side of the studio, dressed as the devil, in this little devil costume.
Was that really me?
Which it was, and he had the voice box on, too, so it had that creepy, deep voice, and there were fake flames behind him.
Oh.
And they'd say something, and you would come on and be like, oh, the devil says Chad Johnson will hold out next year.
That's right.
See, I watch these things. But I watch it. But
yeah.
I think it stands my mind because I saw it and I sat there with my mouth agape going, I'm not watching this.
Exactly.
Am I really seeing this?
You can't. And you know what? You know where the devil resides? That's where my career went after that.
That was the best line. They went back to you and you're looking around down like, what are you doing? You're like, I'm looking for my career. I think it's in hell.
That's right. It's down here somewhere. The devil will probably come back at some point, but I may make Brew be the devil the next time. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I like you as the devil. So,
all right. Deal. We'll wheel it out again. But the problem is we're in the middle of this Bengals thing right now. And, I mean, I fully expect they'll keep winning. The interest is going to be so high in that. I don't know if we can wheel the devil out for a while, because
I think Halloween. I think you can pull out Halloween.
Yeah, you're right. We may bring him back then. Hopefully does that coincide with the bye week? It'll be close. Ooh, that could be perfect.
There we go. I have to take a look at that. I don't know. I don't have their schedule right in front of me, but Martin will check that. But, there's been high demand for the devil. That was funny. For anybody who didn't see that.
Okay, well, then the devil will be back. You haven't seen, like, Billy Ray or Billy Bob Belcher lately.
I saw that, too. And you know what? I love the guy just for the fact that he never cracked a smile. That was impressive to hold that for that long.
Well, I'll tell you, the first time he was on, I lost it. I couldn't take it anymore. I don't know. You probably weren't watching that night, but that was the hardest I've laughed on camera, and that is the hardest I've had to hold in a laugh because, you know, this guy's across the studio sitting there in that all that stuff, that taped-up recliner. It was just god-awful, and I was dying. And finally, and Lapham keeps looking at me. He knows I'm busting, and he doesn't know what to do because he doesn't want to start laughing. Finally, he just goes, George is losing it over there. He can't, and that was it. I was done. But it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with that show, and hopefully, you know, not only just have fun, but people get to hear some opinions and maybe learn something.
George, it is a lot of fun. I love to watch that show on Sunday nights. I flip back and forth because there's a bunch of shows going on right then.
Oh, I know. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, this city has really expanded and really grown in its coverage of sports, and that's at 11:30 on Sunday nights. So
we hope it keeps going. It's good for business, as they say.
Definitely. One quick question for you, George.
Yeah.
What is the one topic that so far you would say that you get the most fired up about to talk about? You know, it's that one hot button, you know, somebody calls and it just really gets you.
That's current right now or at any time?
You know, why don't you take it both ways? That's current right now or maybe kind of your all-time hot button as well?
Current right now would probably be the way UC's handled the coaching situation there in basketball. All-time could probably be anything involving the Bengals.
Yeah, I would think so.
Especially during the dark years and how bad they were and why they were so bad and how that could continue in a league that promotes parity and does everything in its power to make sure there is parity in the league and that a team can be so bad for so long. That's unbelievable.
Now, George, we would have in the studio with us normally our newsman, Woody, who interned for you, but he couldn't make it tonight. But he's now joining us by phone, and he would like to say hello.
Woodrow!
Woody, are you there? Woody is busy making a call.
Please hang up.
We've lost Woody.
Of all the times to lose Woody,
we lost him when he could have talked to you, George.
Imagine Woody being lost.
Yeah, now, was that Woody as an intern? Woody as an intern, was he normally lost?
No, I tell you what, Woody was great. Woody was terrific. I know this is shocking news.
It is to me.
It surprises you guys.
Me too.
Woody was fantastic. And I'd have him back as an intern anytime.
Well, that's...
That's
George.
A ringing endorsement. No, Woody's a good man.
Okay, good. Do we have him now, CG? Do we have him now?
Well, we're going to try.
We're going to try one more time.
Try.
Here we go. Woody, are you there?
What? Yes, I am here.
Woody, say hello to George Vogel.
What's going on, fellas?
Not too much. Woody, say hey to George.
George, how you doing?
Woody, it's good to hear you again.
How you doing?
It seems like it's, what, 1998 all over again or whenever that was.
Exactly. It was a beautiful, magical time. Bruce Coslet just took over the Bengals, took them to 7-2.
Flashback.
That's back when we were drinking that Bruce juice.
Exactly. Ray Knight just got fired. Dion was out in the outfield healing people that fell out of the stands. It was a wonderful time.
Yeah, it was. Was that before Dion drove over the cliff or after?
I can't remember, but that was around the same time that he had the ball bounce off his head and go into the stands.
Oh, gosh. That's right. He did do that.
And then I think Barry ended up giving him a batting helmet and glued, a glove on his a baseball glove on there.
Yeah, and I don't think he ever did learn to use it, though.
No, he didn't.
Well, Woody, George only had good things to say about you after we had the little mishap trying to get you on the air. George only said positive things, unlike Brad Johansson, who I interned for last 2 weeks ago, told me I suck. So,
he didn't.
He did actually, and then our program director turned it into a soundbite, and they play it of him telling me I suck.
Oh, I would never say that about Woody.
Oh, thank you.
I might say it about you there, Jeff, but I'm not going to say it about
Woody. Most people do, George. Most people do.
I don't know why I even try.
Woody, what do you have to say about George, real quick? You know, you get a chance to kind of say something back.
Well, you know, I unfortunately only have good, nice things to say about George. He and the whole Channel 5 sports staff were excellent mentors. Back at the time, you had Solomon there and Matt Miller and Rufus and you know, the whole gang was just, the Photogs we had, Dreamweaver and Scott Simpson, everybody's great.
That was a fun staff. That was a great staff. And Rufus, by the way, wants some of those tapes back, Woody, that you borrowed from him.
Hey, you know what? He shouldn't have signed the waiver release.
No, I'm talking about those VHS tapes from his library.
Oh, wow.
The ones that he was in.
Woody.
That, George, I don't think you want them back.
No.
I don't think anybody wants them back.
No, you're right. They've been used, so to speak.
And there's a story with Woody about Solomon Wilcott, and we can't tell on air.
Oh, really?
But yeah. we can tell it off the air about Solly's first time doing a Bengals game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's first time, but boy.
Yeah, George, you know what we're talking about.
The sideline reporting when the guy got his first sack.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say what he said.
Oh, my word. That was unbelievable. And I was in the booth. He's on the sidelines. I'm in the booth with Anthony Munoz, and he says that and throws it right back to us in the booth. And if you could have seen the look on Anthony's face. So I knew I had to say something. So it's like you got to just go on like this didn't happen. You know, it's just like, thanks, Solly. It's 3rd and 8. And, you know, and Anthony's look of surprise on his face, like, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Oh, that was unreal.
And I couldn't hear you, George, because I was back at the station logging the game in the sports room, and almost as soon as those words that I can't say came out of Solly's mouth, phone lines just lit up.
Did they really? I didn't even know this.
Holy cow, they were lighting up. People were like, oh, did you hear what he just said? What am I supposed to tell my kids? How am I supposed to explain this?
Oh, man. To this day, I did not know that there was, like, people actually caught it. Or that reality. I mean, I don't know how the heck you would miss it.
Woody, you're supposed to tell him that. That's the point of people calling and complaining.
Oh, man. Well, that was unbelievable. But that, yeah, that's one of those golden moments, that's for sure. That was funny.
But, George, we are way. This is the longest we've gone past due date or due time. So we're going to let you go and let you get back to work on your broadcast tonight.
All right.
And thank you very much, George. And we look forward to having you on the show again at some point.
Anytime.
It's been a pleasure.
A pleasure, man. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, George.
Okay, see you guys later. See you, Woody.
See ya.
That was George Vogel, sports director for Channel 5, and our very own Woody Myers, who got to jump in there a little bit. Woody, are you still there? Did you take off? Woody is still there.
He's still there. The woodshed.
Well, Woody,
where is the woodshed tonight, Woody?
The woodshed is in similar to when you called in, an undisclosed location.
That's a running theme with us. A recurring theme.
We've got to get out. We are exceptionally late. Thank you for calling in. Thank you once again to George Vogel, and we'll catch up with you later, Woody.
All right, see you.
This is Unabated Sports on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio, 1450 The Ticket.